Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ, not my real name. I was thinking that since we're having a serious show tonight, I would actually use my real name, but I'm afraid. I've never done that before.
Why? Because you're afraid you don't want people to know your name is Chet? Actually, that's probably short for Chester, I would guess.
DJ Chet. And tonight, tonight on the program, we have a very, very special guest, tenured professor. Brilliant breakthrough artist and
advocate at large for the
psychic. I was going to say, Professor Doozing. Is that how I pronounce your name?
Yeah, that's right.
When you were a kid, Professor Doozing, did they call you Professor Douchebag in like kindergarten?
Douchebag, no.
Dosing, dozing, deucing.
I always thought if I had a daughter, I would name her Sue.
Seducing.
Seducing.
With me tonight is my fabulous co-host Lance, whom I forgot to introduce because I take you for granted. And
yay.
And anyway, I'm sorry. I bought some bad crystal meth today, and I'm just having a bad reaction
really?
To it.
Is the thought of facing the world? Is the thought of facing a show about a serious topic without your usual shield of humor, sarcasm, and cynicism? Is that what's throwing you off?
You really have laid my my assumptions and my persona bare, and I'm not sure I like the real me.
Well, I mean, our audience, at least 30 or 40 of them have told me they like you for who you are. And not for the many funny things you say on the radio.
Really?
Sure.
So, I mean, the last guest we had said I had to lose weight and get some new clothes, which I did. I mean, I got some new clothes.
Are you wearing them right now?
Because they're off right now. What do you think? Is this working for me?
Well, I can say that I think you both look much more attractive in person than you did in those nude photos I saw on the internet.
I don't appear in any of the nude photos. That's just DJ Chet.
The one of you just appeared to be your head with some, I think it was like Long Dong Silver's body or something like that.
Perhaps. And that's not considered attractive?
I'm just saying in person.
Are you sure that was Long Dong Silver's body? Because DJ Lance is actually well known for having an enormous member. I mean, that's part of the reason why I got him to be a co-host on the show. Is because
it could have been. I mean, he was with someone who looked a lot like Anita Hill.
Interesting.
Wow. My love life is much more interesting on the internet than it is in real life, apparently.
So Professor Doozing. Dr. Doozing, do you prefer that? Or Dr. Doomy? I mean, is that what the kids
call? How about Dr. Don't Sing? But, you know, as Paul, it's not official policy to mock our guests' names, DJ Chet, so we should probably move on to the topic at hand.
And the topic is actually extremely serious, which is of course the issue at hand is domestic partnership benefits here at Carnegie Mellon University. Now, the thing that I don't understand. So,
for our listeners, why don't you explain what that's a heavily loaded phrase? Why don't we explain what that actually means?
Carnegie Mellon? Oh, domestic partnerships.
So I don't think we could do justice to the concept that is Carnegie Mellon in the time we have.
So I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is an attempt to provide, you know, insurance benefits and other privileges that are normally afforded married heterosexual couples to people in same-sex relationships who, you know, are in sort of equivalent relationships and therefore ought to deserve the same kind of benefits. Right? Or what am I missing here?
Yeah, that's correct. Although I guess as it's written, domestic partnership benefits would be extended to any couples that would be in a relationship. So it could be heterosexual couples as well as homosexual.
Well, given the fact there's no legal status for gay relationships, it's sort of impossible to structure something so that only a gay relationship would fit. Right, all the domestic partnership attempts I've seen have just established a category of partnership that sort of ignores issues of sexuality and gender in the partners, right?
But isn't that just a political move so it doesn't seem like you're giving homosexuals special rights? You're giving...
No, everybody knows it's primarily oriented towards gay relationships and bringing them sort of legally the benefits that marriage would bring insofar as an institution like CMU can grant them, right?
Sure.
But the point is, it's impossible to do it. I mean, no one's tried to do it while excluding non-marriage straight relationships.
Right. Right. So generally, although actually I think United Airlines, their domestic partnership benefits are for people who cannot legally marry.
Oh, so they do limit it only to people.
Some people have. I believe. I'm not an expert in the area. I just.
Okay. At this point, we'd be remiss if we didn't inform of our listeners who clearly want to call in and talk about this contentious subject what the phone number is. DJ Chet, your voice is silkier smooth than mine is, so I'll let you do the.
The phone numbers are country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. If you're on campus and only have enough strength to dial five digits, that's 8-WRCT. Yeah.
So back to CME and the domestic partnership issue. What's the current status then at Carnegie Mellon?
Well, there's currently there are hearings being held. The HRC is holding hearings, and they're pretty much open to anybody who wants to come and give a statement.
And the HRC is.
What does that stand for?
It's either the Human Relations Commission or hot radical
communist.
That's C word. it's Human Relations Commission.
So I'm fascinated by this notion of hearing because, after all, I mean, in my mind, you know, this is just a simple matter of justice and equity. I mean, it's like, sort of like a no-brainer. I mean, is it just because, like, Warner Hall is staffed by cowards that we don't have this policy now? Or, like, what issue is this commission studying? And I put studying in derision quotes because I don't think there's anything to study.
Well, I wouldn't say that they're studying. I wouldn't even know what they're charged with. But they're inviting anyone who has an opinion on the matter to voice it, and then they're going to make a report, I think, to the board.
So then the report is going to be a summary of.
Well, probably a recommendation, I would guess, in it as well. I mean, you know, there are very different ways that you could approach it. You can approach it as, like we said, the way United did. Where it's just to people who can't legally marry, or you could create a, what they call, I guess, a cafeteria-style plan where everybody gives a certain amount of money and you can insure any adult or your pet or however you want to see it, or you can actually recognize gay lesbian relations and...
Wait, so under this cafeteria plan where everybody gets money, does this mean that, for example, me, an unattached single man, could blow that money on crack, or would it have to be directed towards health benefits?
Yeah, I think it's health benefits.
Oh, okay.
So the purpose of the commission is not only to gather the opinions of the community, but also to actually provide opinions on how this thing should be structured. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, they're listening to all comers, basically.
So it is not emphatically just a ruse to cover Warner's Hall's ass because they've already made the decision and want public validation?
That I can't answer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So when I was thinking about why they were doing – I mean, so as you well know, right, I mean, not all opinions are created equal. I mean, if you want every, like, uninformed jackass whose last, you know, biology class was in third grade to come in and say, you know, I think homosexuality is wrong and this university shouldn't support it. I mean, is that really, you know, is that kind of opinion really going to factor into what the university is going to do? Or, I mean, implicit in my question here is, you know, shouldn't President Cohen or somebody just say, you know, we have a moral obligation to do the right thing here? Like, why does the opinion of idiots, and I think most people are idiots, matter in this case? Well, I'm not trying to be contentious here.
The community, I mean, just to find out what the community is thinking, and I think if 100 people came out, I don't know, and said that we don't want, because of Leviticus or some book in the Bible, you know, homosexuals should not be covered, then that would, and nobody came out and said that they should be covered, then that would mean something to this community, but that is not what's happening.
I think DJ Chet's point is that even if that did happen, he would say, screw it, I don't care what the hoi polloi thinks. It's the right thing to do.
DJ Chet, or is this President Chet?
Okay, it's President Chet now. Or Chancellor Chet?
I am Moral Lord Chet in this case. Well, so when I was reading the Tartan, the CMU newspaper's article a couple weeks ago about, there's some guy who's in charge of this commission. I forget who he is, but...
Toby.
Toby is his name.
Toby?
Here's the article. I have the article here.
Well, don't get all distracted and start reading. We want you to pay attention to the show. But so there was some
Toby
comment.
Davis.
Toby Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So Toby Davis, if you're listening, call in please at 621-9728. And there was some comment in that article about how they're comparing CMU to other institutions in the United States, and it made this surprising comment to me, observation that, well, a lot of the coastal universities are offering domestic partnerships, but, you know, since we're more of a central university, we have different needs. And, like, what's up with that? I mean,
well, I'm not speaking for the university. I just came here to
right.
on your show, so I don't know what's up with that, but I can tell you that that all the other, well, for the say 10 or so schools that we consider in our league, first and second tier schools, that there really only are one or possibly two that don't have domestic partnership benefits, and we would be one of them.
Well, what's the other one?
I said one or possibly two. I'm not sure if there's, but it's a very low number, and it's more of a recruitment. I mean, if you want to get the best people, you don't really care what their sexual orientation is. You just go after the best people.
That is surprising and somewhat disappointing to find out that among top tier universities, Carnegie Mellon stands almost alone, and the fact that it hasn't handled this issue yet.
Well, it's addressing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So have there been any kind of Nobel Prize winning professors that we've been courting, you know, heavily? Has anybody rejected CMU? I mean, you'd think that what it would really take is for some really desirable candidate to reject us because of this issue.
Well, I mean, do we even know that? You know, would somebody be out about that in their job interview and then see that domestic partnership wasn't covered and then not come, or would they just see that domestic partnership wasn't covered and not even apply?
Well, I mean, so you're a level 10 empath, right? And so you'd be able to detect that psychically, whereas I would only have to.
Well,
I can
tell you, having moved here from Cincinnati, a city where a gay rights ordinance was repealed by a vote of the public, that has an effect on the community, and that in 3 years after that had happened, a large number of the intelligent gay people were gone, and that it does have an effect, and it's more of the effect of having it turned down rather than the effect of not having it in the first place.
So it's the sort of atmosphere that the actual action creates instead
right.
of the implemented policy itself, right?
Right.
Well, so where do these people go? Do they all come to Pittsburgh, or do they scatter?
Well, only one that I know of came to Pittsburgh, and that was because that Pittsburgh had a gay rights ordinance, a city gay rights ordinance.
Does it, and it still does. What is that? What is the status? I can't believe we've never talked about that on the show.
It's still there. Yeah.
It's sort of interesting because it's the thing that Pitt is fighting because Pitt claims it's not covered by the city ordinance. Isn't that right?
I believe that's their case.
Wait, Pitt's fighting because it wants to fire all the gays, or what is Pitt doing?
It doesn't want to extend domestic partnership benefits. Part of this is tied up with the fact that the city does have a requirement that everybody, regardless of many things, but including sexual orientation, be not discriminated against. In one of those ways is through wages and benefits.
Okay.
And so in some cases, some people would see it as an act of civil disobedience if someone didn't obey the law or consciously...
Discrimination against homosexuals is illegal with regards to wages and benefits. That's still not a trivial leap from that to domestic partnership benefits, right? Or has that issue been settled in the court already?
Well, I guess that hasn't been settled in the court
okay.
for Pitt's case, I know. But
so, wow, I actually didn't know that Pittsburgh doesn't have an explicit domestic partnership.
They have an ordinance that includes sexual orientation.
Okay, but there are lots of cities that have explicit domestic partnership setups within the city government.
Cities, yeah. And actually, in the city of Pittsburgh, I believe in the city of Pittsburgh, there is a domestic partnership benefits city in some of the city departments, but not all. But it's just recent that it's been.
Really, I mean, so if I worked at like Subway, could like my boyfriend get health insurance as part of my benefits package? I mean, or does this apply? What does this apply?
I think there's a certain. I really, you know, I'm not an expert on this. Yeah. I didn't realize that I was going to be considered.
But it's an interesting topic. I mean, we're not asking to be an expert. It's an interesting topic, and we're.
But
we're
I
always
think that if it's locally curious. Owned, and there's probably a certain size requirement too.
Sure.
The show is all things gay.
And if you don't know the answer to something, just make something up. That's right.
We do it all the time. The show is like an onion of lies, right? Like you unwrap one layer, there's another onion of layers, right? Like I pity our poor listeners who think that DJ Chet's real name is DJ Chet. We all know it's Phil.
What?
Those of you who are listening and not calling in can surf to our website at sextalk.wrct.org, and also you can call in at 621-9728.
Okay, so back to the policy implications. I mean, it seems to be a pretty unabashedly good thing and an overdue thing to set up the domestic partnership within CMU itself, right?
Sure, if you think that marriage is a good thing, I guess.
Well, let's get to that in a second. But first, has anybody come out opposed to the domestic partnership issue?
There have been a few, but actually, I think they would like to hear more from the negative side. They haven't. There hasn't been enough negative issues voiced, and I think the point is that they'd like to hear from everybody.
So, what if the people? I mean, I can imagine a couple of objections. One would be a religious, sort of anti-gay objection, right? What objections have been raised then?
That was the main one, and moral, okay. Just morality. Okay. The idea of what the relationship between a man and a woman is compared to the relationship between two men or two women, that somehow there is a mystical difference there.
And that's not true.
Well, I've never been married to a woman. Oh.
So I've actually, don't interrupt me. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Fine. The moment is past.
Sorry. So we should then use this program to issue a call for all those who are opposed to the domestic partnership.
Yeah, sure. To come make
your voice, not only to call us, but to make your voices heard at the hearings, actually.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Just so that
rather they hear than me sit here at 11:30 in the evening listening to somebody's opinion.
Yeah, just so the sham of democracy that DJ Chet has gone on record as opposing will be preserved.
And the hearings are being held at some kind of...
I believe we have a phone call.
Welcome, caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Is the caller in the air? Uh-oh.
I'll turn that radio down.
I don't know if it's the radio.
No, it's not the radio.
We're having just a mild form of technical difficulty here. Is, hello, caller.
Caller, we're going to have to ask you to hold on while we sort this out for a second.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, you're on now, I think.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Call, you have to turn your radio down. We can hear ourselves in the background.
I have no radio on.
Okay, sorry. The problem's at our end, then.
Yes, it is.
Normally, this goes so smoothly, but we're having a moment or two technical difficulty. So why don't you proceed? Did you have a comment, question, or observation to share with us?
I was going to fill you in a little bit on the PIT thing.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, great.
So I don't know the exact wording in the law and what it says about benefits. But the argument that the people that are suing Pitt are making is that because of that law, they have to offer benefits to gay couples. And Pitt is arguing that the local HRC that made that ordinance doesn't have the right to make it based on domestic partnership because the state, or I'm sorry, on sexual orientation because the state law doesn't include sexual orientation.
Right, they're arguing that they're a state institution rather than a local institution, but they're arguing it, the way they're arguing it is to, they're saying that the city ordinance should be overturned. So rather than asking for an exemption, they're actually asking to overturn the ordinance for everyone.
Right, right, and they're doing that because they're saying they don't have the right to broaden the law more than the state has made it. So that's what Pitt is saying.
Right.
And it's not clear if the people suing Pitt win, whether everybody in the city will suddenly have to start offering domestic partner benefits if they already offer benefits to married couples. I don't think that Subway employees get benefits. You know, if you're making sandwiches at Subway, your wife probably doesn't get benefits if you do.
I bet the manager's wives get benefits, though.
But that's true.
Do you get free refills, at least?
I don't know. I don't work.
I'm not sure if the wife would get the free refill, and that's a core question here.
Yeah, I bet the wife gets free refill.
Well, that would kind of be like to see a new domestic partner benefits now, where, you know, your domestic partner gets an ID and can use the gym.
Yeah, right. So right, so which is nice, but it's not it's kind of dorky, right? I mean, you would. So thank you for that fabulous bit of information. So in the Pitt case, if I recall the history correctly, this woman who was the originator of the case got a few people together and staged a hunger strike in order to get attention and get a response from the university, and that didn't get the effect she wanted. And now, what's the status now? They're in court, or who's got the whose court is the ball in at this point?
Well, the battle has been going on for a while, and while that was happening, some students staged this hunger strike to show their support, and that lasted for a while with non-positive results. In the meantime, numbers of people on the Pitt board of directors made very homophobic statements, which Pitt then tried to say, that's not the reason, it's all about money, it would cost too much. And there was an interesting article in the Post-Gazette about a month ago that showed that other places that have done this haven't seen an increase in benefits, and that actually doesn't cost very much at all. And a number of insurance companies would initially charge a surcharge when they started offering domestic partnership benefits because they weren't sure what the cost was going to be, and there would be like a 2% surcharge. And all the ones that have done that have gotten rid of the surcharge because it turned out to be no more expensive, if not less expensive.
Well, I hope the bean counters in Warner Hall are listening.
Yeah, well, everybody, I think the thing about insurance is the more people you include in the policy, the more affordable it becomes.
Well, the more affordable per person it becomes, mm-hmm. although you wouldn't necessarily expect it to be more affordable in aggregate, right?
Well, but we're paying individually monthly, yeah, so that it's...
Oh! That's right.
Right, and it is, you know, it is true that the benefits are part of your salary at CMU, right? So if you're on research staff for some professor, he has to come up with some amount of money that goes towards your benefits anyway.
Yeah, correct.
So if it's not going to increase the cost to everybody else, you know, what's the problem? And I guess there was this big fear that with AIDS and other illnesses, there was going to be all these unexpected illnesses. And what it turned out to be is there aren't things like pregnancy as much, so the costs are actually not as bad. Not to mention lots of people are unwilling to admit that they're in a relationship that would get them these benefits. So not everybody who's eligible even gets the benefits.
And actually most gay or lesbian couples in many cases are in both partners have jobs. And in most cases the other partner has benefits. And I think actually in the study that was done at CMU, this is actually only about adding 15 people to the benefits in the entire university. So it is
15 out of a couple thousand, right?
Yeah, there are 3,000 faculty, okay. And I don't know how many staff, 2,000 faculty staff, something like that.
Although I do remember I was talking to someone who's involved in state government of my home state of Wisconsin, and they said that one of the concerns when they were talking about domestic partnership was that it would be more expensive, partially because straight couples, now that weren't married, would register, and that would dramatically increase the number of straight. That would, again, up the cost. And while I don't think that has turned out to be the case functionally, I do know a number of straight people who've done that, who've registered just to get health benefits for people they were more or less randomly seeing, who were people they were sort of casually seeing at the time.
I'm not certain that Pitt was planning on offering domestic partner benefits to opposite-sex couples.
What was that? I'm sorry?
I'm not sure that Pitt was talking about heterosexual domestic partnership benefits.
Okay.
But I'm not certain. And I get benefits through my partner working at AT&T Wireless. And the one thing that sucks about domestic partner benefits is because I'm not officially a dependent, we have to pay taxes on it. Which is kind of lame, but it's much cheaper than the CMU student insurance, and I believe they only offer that to same-sex couples also. And we had to sign an affidavit of affirming our relationship. but they didn't even keep a copy. We had to get a notarized copy that we keep. Or something strange. We had to show it to them, and then we keep it to prove that we've, you know, in a committed relationship, and we depend on each other, and we've been together more than 3 months.
But it wasn't like the INS where you actually had to make out in front of them and show vacation photos and stuff, right?
That's right.
Okay.
They probably prefer that we didn't.
Well, it's interesting that you had to do that because, you know, if you're married, all you have to do is say you're married. And I don't think anybody ever asks to see your wet marriage certificate or anything like that or have any proof at all. All you do is say you're married.
True, but to be fair, there is an easy verification for marriage, like if the issue comes up. Right?
What, would that be a ring?
No, I mean, marriages are registered, right? You can.
Yeah, but do you think most people have that or could put their fingers on it?
Most people could trivially prove they were married if they.
I don't think anybody asks if you say you're married.
I agree that never is enforced, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it is asked to be verified, it can be verified. Whereas with gay relationships, because there's no legal standing for gay marriages, right? That sort of potential verifiability doesn't exist at all. Well, I believe we have another.
Yes. Yes. Actually, I was listening to what you were saying about. How to verify gay marriage, and in packing up papers, I just happened to have filed Carnegie Mellon University's domestic partners registration policy.
Excellent.
Which they have. I mean, the intent of that of the policy, as far as I can tell, is to get you university benefits. I guess get you access to.
You get access to the library and the sports facility.
Right. So you can check out books or go to the gym or whatever.
So do you have that? What are the requirements? What does CMU require that you show?
Carnegie Mellon University defines a domestic partner relationship as a relationship between two individuals that meet the following criteria. Both parties are 18 years of age or older and are mentally competent, blah, blah, blah. Neither party is legally married to nor what? The domestic partner of any other person. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The parties are not related by blood.
Is second cousin good enough?
Right, I guess. It has to be thin. Okay. Apparently, if you could get married in this state, that qualifies. The relationship has been entered into voluntarily. We specifically acknowledge that Carnegie Mellon University has not promoted or encouraged the relationship, but is only accepting our representations here for limited purposes.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's piling on the...
isn't that open to interpretation? For example, if you meet at a Carnegie Mellon sponsored party where Carnegie Mellon bought you the beer,
I'm guessing that their intent there is that you're not entering in this to willingly defraud Carnegie Mellon.
Right. But one of the things too on that is that you can't cancel the domestic partnership, your domestic partner, and then have another one in less than 3 months, right? Mm.
Right. The partners have been living together as a couple
good number, 3 months.
At least 3 months prior to registration with the university.
Yeah, because you can get married like every week for 52 weeks, right, provided you kept getting enrolled.
Right, right. Actually, no, in looking over, it doesn't say that you can't. Well, I guess there's 3 months break between being able to get your domestic partnership.
Between your serial monogamy.
Yeah, a little timeout. Never heard anybody say.
Well, that comment, I mean, I've actually been rendered ineligible by this contract because... And I'm going on record, it's 100% truthfully, Carnegie Mellon made me gay. And so, you know, it's...
Did you give them the description of that?
Well, the response... You know, I was heterosexual before coming to see me, before being a registered. I was enjoying the company of the ladies, you know, and I was doing quite well. And then I came here and went to some kind of GSA mixer and had a few beers, and the next thing I knew, I was in the barrel suddenly.
I thought, wasn't there some sort of experimental, like monkey brain procedure they performed?
Oh yeah,
this sounds like a lawsuit and a comfortable retirement.
Doesn't everyone get that procedure? They told me that's what. and I'm not complaining. I mean, you know, I actually.
Do you like being gay?
This is all part of the test.
Well, I mean, you know, I spend a lot more time at the gym now, and
so it's healthier.
Yeah, yeah, your life has probably been extended by this, right?
And I don't have to always pay for drinks and everything. It's been,
wow, that's a benefit, right?
See, now does this mean that this radio show is negating a lot of people's domestic partnership possibility because they're listening to this going, hey, no, not paying for drinks. This is the Carnegie Mellon radio station. Okay.
I almost followed the logic there. Well, listening to our show makes you gay? No. I missed the logical conclusion of your claim.
I don't think there is one.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I thought it was interesting that it looks like the groundwork for domestic partner benefits is there already.
So there is some legal recognition of these
right.
of gay relationships. It's just not carried over into the like financial implications of.
Yeah, it wouldn't say that was legal. I mean, there is some
right.
universities.
And there's, although there's nothing in here that says that mentions gender at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that would if that's a consideration under or with the present I don't know hearings or meetings or whatever about. Domestic partner benefits.
All right.
So you have to give them to everybody who's living together.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to offering my prospective girlfriends free health benefits.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I suspect that there's not like as was said. I don't think there's going to be enough people who are going to bother to go through with everything for every casual fling they have. I mean, I remember seeing it's not in this particular. Document, but I remember seeing that they want a joint bank account or joint utility bills or something that's more than just hey she moved into my room in my apartment and we've been together for 3 months so hey give her health insurance.
That seems discriminatory against squatters.
It does. I mean, and well, from that point, I mean. There seems to be a certain amount of legal baggage that you have to have in order to get any of this sort of stuff. Of course, I guess if you were a true anarchist squatter, you wouldn't be as concerned about all this anyhow. I mean, the system is corrupt, so, hey, start over.
So I have actually an entirely serious question, which you're going to laugh at anyway, but I want both of you, Dr. Duzing and the caller, to respond to this issue, which is why do all these benefits focus on two-person relationships? What about the polyamorous out there?
Excellent point.
And you know, who are in perfectly valid, you know, three and four and N-person relationships? When do they get their due?
You want the easy flip response or the more considered one?
Well, both. I'll start with the flip one.
The easy flip response is that the general culture has a hard enough time getting their brains around two gay men in a relationship at all. The idea of three and four and more. People living all together in one sort of extended marriage just blows their mind.
I'm not so sure. I think the general populace would have an easier time accepting one big strapping man with two young nubile women.
No, that's possible. I mean, there is Utah.
I mean, that actually is the idea behind the cafeteria plan is that it doesn't matter what the situation is. That everyone is given a certain amount of benefit, and they apply it however they feel like.
So you could give it to the whole state of Idaho if you wanted.
Right. 1 cent worth or something.
Everybody gets an aspirin.
And then you make up the difference, you know, if you go over.
Okay, so that was the easy flip response. Now let's go for the reasoned, intelligent response.
Well, I think that given as much trouble as they're having laying down legal definitions of what constitutes a domestic partner, there's a good almost page worth of defining for that, and that's so you can go to the gym. That has no money involved with it. That's absolutely no financial skin off the university's butt.
Towel cleaning?
Mm-hmm. Right, like.
Yeah, there is some kind of shared cost, but agreed, it's not a big deal for the university. Yeah.
Right.
So you're just saying that society is not, A, society is not ready, and B, you know, maybe in 50 years when polyamorous couples are living on the moon, there'll be some kind of policy, but one thing at a time, basically.
We barely now have the legal technology to handle non-traditional marriages.
Yeah, I think that, and it's funny because I've seen the similar question come up in a number of magazines and news groups that are aimed at, well, gays and gay culture and whatever, like that point of attack, and there are people arguing that why is gay marriage an issue at all? I mean, if we're going to why are we buying into this thing that doesn't that only accepts a binary relationship? Why aren't we trying to expand it larger than that? And it's a similar sort of argument, I think, in that the people saying, "Well, we need to do we need to start with gay marriage because we're going to have a hard enough time with this. If we try to do everything all at the same time, nothing is going to happen."
Right, and I think that's probably a completely valid. You know, whether you're building a new kind of aircraft or developing new legal technology, you have to start somewhere. I think that's actually a pretty sensible approach.
And it's an unfortunate thing. I mean, it'd be nice. I completely agree that polyamorous relationships should be recognized in that fashion. But I have no idea how to go about doing it. And speaking selfishly, I'm really tired of my husband and I both paying for our health insurance through the university. I mean, we could save a couple thousand
actually,
dollars.
What you're addressing is not, in my mind, it's a failure of the insurance business rather than a failure of any legal definition of anything. I mean, it's really, it's poor health care in this country rather than anything else.
I don't
really
disagree with that, of course. Then you're tackling an even larger windmill.
What? So, Lance is communicating with me again.
I'm failing to communicate with you.
Wow. I have nothing to say at this point.
Hey, I want to talk about gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Are we ready for that? So actually, I have a question. I want to play the devil's advocate for just a moment and ask our psychic, Dr. Dusing, the following question, which is, I'm getting the impression from you that you actually don't believe in marriage as a social institution for anyone, gay or straight or polyamorous.
Well, it's not that I don't believe in marriage. I think if you want to have a rabbi or a priest or somebody bless your relationship, that's fine. But I don't see the point in legal marriage. I don't see the point in the government being involved in people's relationships. I don't know why the tax law is caught up in people's.
Surely the argument is that society as an entity wants to do what's best for itself. And so if promoting marriage, you know, increases economic well-being and, you know, helps ensure that more babies are created, then you'd want to
Although the funny thing from the point of view of marriage is that, right, so tons of there are subsidies to various activities that the government wants to promote, like homeowning, for example, right? There's a huge subsidy for owning your own home due to interest rate tax deductions. But for marriage, actually, there's a substantial penalty through taxes, even though it's no American politician would ever want to be considered anti-family, right?
By the way, I don't know if the callers are still in the air or if we've lost them both. I meant to politely say goodbye to you both, but I guess I didn't do that because I was raised in a barn. But thank you both for your contributions and for your comments, and we do appreciate the calls. Anyone else that wants to call in, 621-9728. And also, Dr. Dusing will be doing psychic readings. This costs you $2.95 a minute if you call the Psychic Friends Network.
But for the next 10 minutes, right?
We'll only do it by reading bumps on heads, though.
Interesting.
So you may have been raised in a barn, DJ Chet, but it's the only barn I've ever been in with sub-zero freezers.
What does that mean?
It means it was a luxuriously appointed barn.
Fabulous. So
back to marriage and implicit subsidies. So there's an issue of what the tax system does for marriage, right? But there's another issue of just sort of this legally recognized entity, this intertwining of finances, right? Is that what you think is unnecessary?
Oh, I just think that the whole idea of the government getting into relationships and defining them is not important. It is not something that we should be doing. What you were talking about, polyamorous relationships. Why does the government get in there and say this is what a relationship is? This is how, you know, have this definition. I mean, why? What's the point of that?
Wait. You think polyamory is a load of crap, don't you? I'm just getting the sense that it's all about sex, and it's not really possible for more than two people to be in a stable polyamorous relationship.
Actually, I don't think that.
Oh, really? I sense this.
You don't know. I may be in
maybe it was Lance. I was sensing some negative vibe about.
Any of my opinions of polyamory are just tinged by the bitterness that I can't even achieve monoamory.
Monoamory, you could probably do. Okay.
Like,
that's just you and your.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Some
solo
superficial like coordination nerve damage. It's just.
Can't even love yourself.
I try, though, and every day I think I get a little bit closer.
That's good.
But so, DJ, Chet, you're always putting us on the spot. What do you think about polyamory?
Well, actually, so you know, like all, because I am a trained computer scientist, I think that I'm willing to believe that it's possible for some people to be that way, but I cannot relate to it in the same way that I cannot relate to, say, someone who is someone with gender dysphoria or whatever it's called, like, you know, being born in a woman's body and thinking that you're male. Like, I believe that that's true, but I can't possibly imagine what it feels like. So in the same way, I can't imagine being in a three-way relationship without just feeling really bitter and unloved, because I would always be...
Now, are you talking about that, like, over the course of years or over the course of, like, say, 2 hours some Saturday night?
Oh, well, I'm all for having a threesome. I mean, or an N-some. So sexually, I'm interested in exploring, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm talking about polyamory in the literal sense of meaning, you know, multi-way emotional
stable, committed relationship.
Right.
Well, let me ask you the following question then: wasn't there a time when you couldn't imagine being what it was like to be gay and happy?
I'm imagining that pretty much right now.
And in fact, doesn't your denial of your love for polyamorous relationships just sort of prove that you really have a deep-seated subconscious longing for one?
Well, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it's true what President Clinton says: "We loathe that which we do not understand." Wait.
Does he say that? Maybe you could just be the one they keep in the box.
What box?
Or the barrel.
The barrel.
Yeah.
The
barrel. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what this, like, naval tradition, right? It's like, you're out at sea, somebody goes in the barrel, and then the other sailors put their penis in the barrel, and the person in the barrel is required to perform fellatio. And so you can imagine when you're putting your penis in the barrel that it's actually, you know, a woman or whatever, a prostitute.
Midwest,
but it's actually, you know.
Ensign Joe.
Some swabby. Oh, gosh. So.
Is that common? I had never heard that before. You're saying that you know, of course, this naval tradition.
Actually, well, the last art professor we had on the show, actually.
Oh, it was Professor Psychic?
Yeah, Professor Psychic told us an extensive joke about being in the barrel. So.
Oh. Well, she would know.
So, but back to gay marriage. So,
why do you keep harping on gay marriage?
Because it's a topic that interests me.
Oh.
And because I'm always looking to make you Johnny on the spot, DJ Chet. So let's say someday when you meet your Matt Damon lookalike dream man, right, and you settle down in that farmhouse bread and breakfast.
I'm liking this.
would you like there to be a legal institution of gay marriage for you to ease into, like, high thread count sheets?
I'm thinking that will there be like a gay Martha Stewart who can decorate my farm for my farmhouse farm?
Isn't that what the current one does?
Yeah, Martha Stewart is on her way to transcending gender. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay, so me and Matt Damon and my current lover and you. I mean, sort of like this is like a four way. I mean,
let's just go back to your current lover then. So, do you wish there was a legal institution of gay marriage that you could slip into like a ratty old T-shirt?
In some sense, it would be convenient, not for my own sense of commitment, but it would be a convenient shortcut for, you know, outsiders, just to be like, you know, when you tell somebody that you're married, they kind of, there's an automatic, that's kind of automatic shorthand for them. They know what that means, mm-hmm. right? And then they understand some level of commitment and so on. And so, you know, I would like, indeed, I would like to enter in some kind of marriage thing just so the world can quickly get, you know, what that means. And, for example, there's lots of, it also provides, being married provides all kinds of conveniences, too. Like, you can pick up your husband's prescriptions, right? I mean, people, husbands and wives do all kinds of crazy stuff, like each other for each other all the time, and it's taken for granted.
What, like this mysterious oral sex you keep talking
about? Well, there's that, but I mean, you know, it goes from being automatically permitted to visit your spouse in the hospital with, mm-hmm. with no questions asked to, you know, not testifying against your spouse in a criminal trial. There's all kinds of like cool benefits that kind of come up, and you don't really necessarily think about them, to just kind of social lubricant. I mean, things that you can, you know, get away with, you know, sign your husband's checks or whatever, and people are just like, oh, that's cool, whatever. He's your husband. But, like, you know, you can't, like, say, I'm here to, like, sign my gay lover's checks, right? I mean, you'd be jailed, right?
I mean, well, one of the things that I think about, I mean, even though I've said that I'm really not in favor of the institution of marriage, that I think that is good about marriage, excuse me, is that it forces men to stand up in front of people and say that they love the other person and that they are making this commitment. And those are things that most men I know would never, ever say out loud unless, you know, forced to in the situation. Maybe I'm wrong about that, and maybe I know all the wrong men, but that seems...
That would explain a lot.
So the men that you're talking about are incapable of expressing their feelings to their partner, or they're incapable of expressing their feelings to, like, third parties about their partner? I mean, which kind of men
all
are you talking about?
And I'm just like, not feelings, but commitment. That's the whole, all the whole package, you know.
So I think one of the real things that marriage does is that actually, I mean, it binds people together and makes it more difficult for them to split up, right? So the fact that there's this institution that involves the uniting of finances, there's this other legal status, right, makes it actually more difficult for people to split up. Because in theory, people are married, can just run away from each other, but that doesn't actually happen, right? Do you think that would be – and, in fact, in recent years with the sort of rise of – conservatism in this country, there's been a move to make that bonding even tighter to attempt to stem the tide of divorce. Do you think that's another bad thing about legally institutionalized marriage? Or
I don't see it as a bad thing, as a way of keeping relationships together, whether, you know, to get the two or three or four people together and have them talk it out is not a bad thing. But I don't know what the I don't see what the government is doing in it myself. I just don't.
Prediction. In the last 5 minutes or so, I would just like to make some psychic predictions about the future.
Can they be about gay marriage?
Yeah. Will we have a gay president by the year 2100? Gay or lesbian? And if
2100, so that's 100 years, they're saying.
Yeah, there could be up to 25 presidents.
Okay, yes, I'll say yes. I'll say...
Interesting.
I'm feeling yes.
Yes. Female, maybe a lesbian president. I mean, I think the country's more ready for a lesbian president than for...
Probably, because they'll also advertise images of, you know, with softcore lesbian erotica.
I mean, certainly Howard Stern would be very pro-lesbian president, right?
Especially now.
Yeah. interesting.
you have this wonderful psychic aid you're supposed to DJ chat, and there's nothing else you want to know?
Everybody you have on the show is psychic, apparently. It's remarkable.
It's only the artists that are psychic.
Uh-huh.
And DJ Chad, he's psychic, too.
Uh-huh. Well, I
felt that.
I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm distracted by this other... When people are talking about doing the hunger strike for Pitt, I was wondering if anyone's ever... I mean, that seems so destructive. I was thinking, maybe you could go on the Atkins plan as some kind of a protest.
Carbs until equal rights. Like
I mean, do you see people... you know, protesting in that way, in your psychic vision of...
I see them going on the meat diet myself.
Interesting.
That's the future for protest.
Really? I mean, meat is so antithetical to being gay. I mean, I'm like all gay men, sort of.
They're showing how rough it can get.
wait. Again, playing the naive straight, how is meat antithetical to being...
Please.
Please what?
Like first of all, it's really flawed technology. It's cruel, right? Killing animals bad, you know. And you know, there's lots of evidence that meat is bad for you, sort of for your health and colon cancer or whatever. And so, you know, every gay man who takes care of himself is like a grazing pseudo-vegetarian.
Are you a grazing pseudo-vegetarian?
Well, does going to Wendy's count?
The salad bar.
No, that doesn't count as being a grazing pseudo vegetarian.
All right, more predictions. Can you tell when you? This is sort of a Gaydar question. Do you believe in Gaydar? And can you tell people if people are gay, even if they're not out to themselves? Like, for example, DJ Lance here.
Like, how is that a prediction?
Well,
you're not really tapping into his full psychic potential.
I mean, psychic powers are you know, a melange.
You're saying they sometimes give insight into everyday things,
yes,
that aren't explicitly mysterious. The mysterious future.
I mean, you're perceiving on multiple levels, and so I mean, DJ Lance does his whole persona scream like, you know, want to be homosexual, and do you think that ties into his lack of success with the ladies?
What I'm picking up is that. It's that you're hoping that DJ Lance is not straight.
Because
it's this heavy vibe. It's coming on really strong.
Yeah, I wish I could feel special at the thought of that, but I'm not the first one.
Yeah, but you're an excellent, very attractive company. I mean, you know, Will Wheaton, Matt Damon, and
DJ Lucky Charms, a frequent guest on the show.
You know, I only lust after the highest quality straight men.
Wait, I thought Matt Damon. I thought Matt Damon was gay.
Well, we don't have any. I don't have any actual information on this except for my own psychic influences. But I mean, I think of the Affleck Damon pair. Ben Affleck is more likely to be gay just because he's more, you know, Damon
artistic.
Is, yeah, Damon is so obviously a dork that you don't really. I mean, Affleck's obviously more sensitive, and so I think it's more likely that he would be gay.
That was always a problem. I went to art school in the 70s, and that was the question almost every man in the art school got asked was, "Are you gay or are you just artistic?"
And what was that? What was the ratio to gay versus artistic?
Same as in anything else, like 10%.
Really, only 10% of that?
No way. It's got to be like
in school. Oh yeah, I think it's only 10%. But then it's you know, then a lot of people get into that legal institution of marriage and they stop being artists, and a lot of gay people do persevere a little bit harder.
That's a funny flip side to the women in science thing, because people one of the explanations that gets bandied about for why the 50% of the scientists are not women is that they have babies and they sort of stop working hard, right? And you're offering that up as far as straight men go with your world,
right?
Start
having taking the risk that being an artist entails. Mm-hmm.
So we only have 30 seconds left, and so my final question I think is going to be the most perspicacious of the evening, which is, in art school in the 70s, what Matt Damon-like Hollywood star did you think was gay? Travolta? Like, who was – when you were subscribing to, you know, Young Miss or Teen and thinking about the hotties.
I thought that Bruce Springsteen had a lot of repressed
– Springsteen?
Bruce had a lot of repression, and that was
– Wow.
Unconventional, but excellent choice.
Yes, an excellent choice. I was going to mock you for your choice, but it's hard to – it's hard to find fault with Springsteen. Excellent. Well, on that note, I want to thank all of our listeners and callers for calling in. This has been a most enlightening and life-altering show. Please listen every Tuesday at 11 p.m. On this very station. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Dr. Dusing, psychic Dr. Dusing,
thank
and
you very much.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And good night.
Good night.